Good morning. Up here I have some scenarios. Just wanted you to think about how you would react in these certain situations. First one, I saw this on the internet, it was a headline where a Brinks armored truck like tipped over or the doors came open and all this cash went all over the highway. People stopped their cars. They were scooping up the money, putting it in their pockets, and driving off. People were coming that lived by the road were coming out, and they were taking money and putting it in their pockets and running. Some people helped the driver and picked up the money and gave it back to them. Would you be a scooper, or would you be like helping and giving the money back to the driver? Something for you to think about. Something that happens probably more often than we would like. Have you ever been in a conversation where people are just piling on a colleague or a peer and they're just complaining about them, maybe your boss or something like that? Do you join in the piling on? Or do you try to like get rid of that conversation or try to say something that might help to stop the piling on? And then probably something we've all been in. There is a tight situation. We could be getting in some trouble or we need to get out of it. And we know there's a possibility that we could lie and probably not get caught. Do you go ahead and tell that lie, or do you just take whatever's going to come your way? We face these situations probably daily in our lives, situations that challenge us as a Christian to make good choices, the old angel and devil on our shoulders. And how we react to these situations is really what lets us know where we are as a Christian. And, you know, we have to think about, what type of choices am I making each day? And do they know that we are Christians by the choices that we're making? And that's what our topic is going to be today. Do people know that we are a Christian by the choices that we're making? We always have to ask ourselves, do our actions reflect our faith? This was our reading from James 2. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? So James is saying, we can say we believe in God all we want. We have accepted him as our Savior. But if our actions don't reflect that, really, where are we at with our faith? And many people have done that. They say, I believe in Jesus. He's my Savior. And that is a very good start. But then their actions might not reflect what they're saying. I was talking to Dave Mayer this morning, and this is by total coincidence. I love mafia movies. I don't know if you guys do. I love the Goodfellas. I love the Godfather movies. And it's always interesting. You will see the Godfather always going to church. They're in church every Sunday. They give the offering. They are an upstanding member of the church. But then Monday to Saturday, they're running numbers, they're selling drugs, they're having people beat up, and they're having people maybe knocked off. And you say to yourself, what really good is it if they're going to church and then they're doing those things during the week? Does that reflect us, though? We might not be running numbers and selling drugs and everything else, but during the week, are we doing some of those same things and making some of those bad decisions? Today, I picked out three scenarios or three types of things that happen in our lives to see how we live out our faith. And the first one is trials. And this has come up in my life recently because I have an aunt and a cousin who, they're just going through some really rough times with her health, and her husband, my uncle, just died, and things are just not going real well for them right now. My cousin has to handle a lot of things. So he's really in a trial right now. And we all face trials in our lives. Whether it's, you know, we receive bad news about our health, employment, we are the target of ridicule or gossip. Have you ever faced that in your life? Yeah, I tell you what, when you are the target, you know, I said in the beginning, you know, people are piling on a colleague or a peer. How about if you're the person they're piling on? That is a tough situation to face. Stress is getting the best of us. I tell you what, our society, stress has gone way up in our society. It just seems like, you know, everywhere you look, there are commercials to relieve stress. You know, we now have aromatherapy. I don't think they had aromatherapy back in the 50s, or they might have called it something different in the 60s. But there wasn't, you know, a lot of things right now are dealing with how to handle stress. And, or you just see your loved ones are struggling. How we react to these trials tells us a lot about our faith. Do we turn to God? Is that our first step? Turning to God, praying to God, praying with others to God for these situations. Do we start to blame God and maybe give in to that temptation? Or we start to think that God doesn't care about us anymore or doesn't love us? Why would this happen if he cared about me? Do we start to wallow in self-pity and say, why? Look at me. Woe is me. Why is this happening to me? Or probably one of the worst things we can do is we lose faith. And we just turn away from God and say, I'm not going to worship a God that allows this stuff to happen in my life. In the New Testament, many people used to come up to Jesus and ask him to help them out. One such person was a synagogue ruler. And in Matthew 9, we read, while he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Now this synagogue leader, if you think about it, what was Jesus' relationship with the religious leaders of that time? Probably not great. So this synagogue leader, he knew and he believed that Jesus was the only one that could help his daughter. And he didn't care that maybe his bosses might not be happy with him for going to Jesus, but he knew that Jesus could help. And he believed. And he even humbled himself and knelt before Jesus, asking him for help. During our times of trials, those trials give us a chance to do the same thing, to humble ourselves, to realize how much we need God's help, and to ask him for help. They help to grow our faith. Now, there are so many times that when things are going well, we're like, yeah, well, I'm all right. And nothing's really happening with our faith. But it's during those times of trials, that's when we start to see our faith grow. Those tests are what help us to grow as a Christian. It also helps to gauge our maturity level as a Christian. Do I turn to God right away? Or do I start to doubt him? Do I say he doesn't care? What's my maturity level as a Christian? And as always, these trials, they give us a great opportunity to set an example for other people. If other people see us praying or see us handling these situations and turning them over to God and not dwelling on self-pity or not saying, woe is me, what a great example that is for other people to see how we turn to God. That synagogue ruler, what a great example he set for those people that day and us as we continue to read the Bible throughout history. David, when he was writing his Psalms, if you know, he was on the run a lot. He was in danger a lot. Seemed a lot of people wanted to kill David for some reason. He was always on the run. But David always believed that God would get him through. In Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its mountains, waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. David saw God as his fortress, his help. Do we have that same trust in God? Is he our fortress during times of trials? Is he our fortress during the times when our faith is getting challenged? The second scenario is treatment of the less fortunate. I was in San Antonio in December, and there are a lot of homeless people in San Antonio. I was in Fells Point last weekend. There's a lot of homeless people in Fells Point. I was at a baseball game in Pittsburgh this week. There was a lot of homeless people outside of the stadium, all asking for money and all asking for help. And oftentimes we pass these people on the streets and they're asking us for money. And we got to say to ourselves, how do I react in that situation? There are so many people that will stop and give money and help them out. There's other people that say, you know what, they're on drugs. I'm not going to help their drug addiction, or I'm not going to help them to get cigarettes or help them to get alcohol or whatever. How we treat these less fortunate tells us a lot about our faith. My view on that is, if I give them a buck or two, that's on them. If they go and buy drugs or they go and buy cigarettes, that's on them. At least I'm doing what I can to help them out. What I saw from this couple when I was coming out of the baseball game, these people had bought meals inside the game. You know, hot dogs, popcorn, whatever, and they put them in bags. And then they went out to the homeless people that were out there, and they gave, like, I think there was like four or five homeless people out there. And they gave them each a meal. And said, here you go. I hope you eat well tonight. And I was looking at that. I'm thinking to myself, what a great thing that they just did. You know, they took the time. They got those meals inside. And what a great example they set with their treatment of those less fortunate people. Throughout history, we always have the poor with us. Jesus said, you'll always have the poor. And throughout history, they have been always looked down upon. Because what do we base people's worth on? What they have, how much money they have, what's their stature, etc. So the poor have always been looked down upon. Our Savior was poor and homeless. In Luke 9, Jesus said, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Our Savior could have been one of those people I ran into at Fells Point asking for money. Or in San Antonio, sleeping on the riverwalk in whatever they could find. Now here's the time for a little bit of interaction. Why do you think God chose his Son to be poor? Now you can actually answer this. So, why do you think God could have made Jesus come in any form that he wanted to. Why poor? Teach humility, okay? Yeah. Most of us can probably relate to a poor person more than we can relate to a king in a castle.
It wasn't about an earthly kingdom. You think of wealth
Okay? Yeah. You know, Jesus, or God chose Jesus to be poor. And I definitely think it was for all those reasons that we mentioned. We could relate to a Savior who's like us, who's struggling every day. It's not about this earthly kingdom, it's about a heavenly kingdom. And Jesus, above all things, I think we can say Jesus was very humble. He could have been shooting down lightning and everything else. But he was so humble in his service. Ask ourselves, is our faith alive? James, continuing in chapter 2, he says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. You know, so many times we say, oh, I hope things work out for you, or so forth. But if we have something that we can do to help those things work out, James is saying we should be taking advantage of those opportunities to do that. And I know, you know, I look at my mail, I look on the TV. There are so many people that need help. You get mail from the Rescue Mission, you get mail from the Heart Association, the Cancer Society. You see all these commercials, give, give, we need money, we need money. And it can definitely be overwhelming to you. It is to me, you know. And you just feel like, man, can I do enough to help people? John Lennon said, you might not, or you can't help everyone, but you can help someone. So in your life, is there someone that you can help? Is there someone you can think of in your life that there is something you can do to help them out? If we know that someone is in need and we help them out, that shows our faith is alive. But if there's someone in need and we turn our back on them, we have to question, how strong is our faith, or is our faith alive at all? You know, at the end of time, according to Matthew 25, we are going to be judged according to our deeds of sort of how we treat the less fortunate and how we treat others. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So when we're looking out for those less fortunate, we're helping Jesus. We have many opportunities to help other people. Are we willing to take advantage of those opportunities? The third thing we're going to look at is the good time. We have all been blessed by many things by God. God has taken care of us more than we ever know. Are we grateful to him for that? Rich said in his prayer, let's go through the week, and when things happen, let's be thankful to God. Do we do that in our lives? Many people, when they're working their way up the ladder, they're asking God for help. They're, God, just get me this next step. Get me this next step. And then when they reach their goal, they forget about God. And they forget that God helped them up there. And they think it was by their own efforts that they got up there. And somehow God takes a back seat now that they've had some success. But in Thessalonians, Paul reminds us, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There are many examples in the Bible of people that are healed by Jesus. And one of their first reactions is to go out and share what happened with them. In Mark 1, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. That man's first reaction was to go out and share with everyone what had happened. Is that our first reaction when good things happen in our lives? Does God come to the front of our minds and say, "I got to thank God for this new job. I got to thank God for this good news. I got to thank God that this went the way I actually hoped it would go"? Is that our first reaction? You know, there is a guy, very controversial guy. Some people like him, some people don't. I personally do. Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, I like him because you cannot hear an interview with Tim Tebow without him thanking God somewhere along the way. He always thanks God for the success that he had. And, you know, he points up, remember when he was playing football, he'd always point up to the heavens, and you see other athletes doing this now, pointing up to heaven and thanking God. You remember the old he did a Tebow. Do you remember when he did that move? And he would get down on his knee and thank God in the end zone. Tim Tebow set a great example because he was willing to let people know where his success came from. And he always let people know. And he continues today to let people know that it comes from above. And one thing about gratitude and being thankful is that God expects it off of us. Another incident where Jesus heals some lepers. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Would you rather be the Samaritan or the other 9 in this account? Probably all of us would like to be that Samaritan. And you could tell by Jesus' tone that he was a little disappointed that the other 9 did not come back to thank him. I want to be the Samaritan in that case. So when something good happens, God expects us to be grateful. May that always come to the front of our minds when we experience good things in our lives. In closing, in Mark 12, it says, "Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." How important is it to us that our faith is alive? We have to decide that in our lives. How important is it that our faith is alive? That we're, in times of trials, we're turning to God. We're setting a good example. We're not blaming God. We're not dwelling in self-pity. In treatment of people that are in need, how are we setting a good example there? Are we giving God the thanks and praise that he deserves? Is it important for us in our lives that we're living for God and not ourselves? You know, at the end of time, we're going to be judged. And God is going to look at our whole work, our whole list of works here on earth. Do you think he's going to be happy with the effort we gave him on earth? That is the question. When God looks at all of our works, is he going to be happy with our effort? Dear Heavenly Father, we pray as we face many tough decisions each day, help us, Lord, to make the right decision. So many things in our lives come along, and there are trials that could pull us away from you. There are things that we see that would be much easier to ignore than to actually take the time and help or try to make things better. And there are so many times that we could take and say, hey, we did this, and that's why we're successful, instead of giving you the praise. Please help us, Lord, to make good decisions. Help us to always be grateful to you. Help us to always turn to you during the times of need. And please help us, Lord, to do what we can each day to help our fellow man. Please be with us, Lord. May we set a great example each day through our actions and words. In Jesus' name, amen. The church, at this time, we always welcome people to come up. If you need the prayers of the church, you can come up at this time. Or if you would like to become a member of God's family and come up and be baptized, the waters are ready for you. If we could serve you in any way, please come forward as we sing.